Daf is Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. So we're going to the beginning of the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nafal Habayis Alav Aval Aviv. House falls on father and son, we'll call them Ruvain and Yaakov. So the son is Ruvain, the father is Yaakov. Oh, Alav Aval Morishav or Ruvain, and one other Morishav is, it could be a brother, it could be a mother, it could be an uncle. So either way, there's a Yoresh and a Morish who both die, and they're under a house that collapses. So the Mishnah says, Vayisa Alav Ksubas Isha Ubal Chov. Now, we're concerned right now with the father's property, who the father is going to pay to. So the father, Yaakov, will call him, owes his wife a ksuba, and he owes a baal chov. So the question is, who's going to collect it? So the Yerusha Av, the ones who are going to Yerusha father, Omrim HaBen Meis Risham. They say that the son died first. So when the son dies, so the son, Reuven, had no other children. So if Reuven has no children, who's the next Yerusha? The father. So Reuven dies first under the collapsing of the house, and so Yaakov, while in the house, alive, is Yerush's own son. Then Yaakov dies, so now Yaakov's Yerushin get Yaakov's property. Okay. And then, again, Yerusha Av Omer Ben Meis Rishon, Reuven died first, V'Acharkach Meis Av. So now Yaakov gets all the Yerusha to give to the Baal Chov, and to give to the Ksubas Isha, and to all the Yerushim. I'm sorry, all the way around, I apologize. The Yerusha Av say that, again, son died first, and then father died. So the father, Yerushim, get everything. But Balichov Omrim Ha'av Meis Rishon V'Acharkach Meis HaBen. So they say that first the father died, so now the son is being Yoresh the father, and then now the son dies, Reuven dies, so the Balchov are able to collect it from the son. Because the Balchov had a Sheba, that Reuven's property. Reuven died, the father's son is Yoresh, but there's that lien that the Balchov are going to collect. So they want to collect from the son the chov. So what do you do? So do we say who dies first, the father or the son? So Beishami Omrim Yachloku, since it's a suffik, so the lacha is Mamun Mutaba Suffik Chokin. So therefore we divide everything in half. Beis Hillel Omrim Nechasim Mecheskasim. We leave the chazaka, the nechasim of the father, in the status quo of being the chazaka of the father. So look what the Rashbam says here. Rashbam says, "Beis Hillel Savri Nichasim Becheskasan Becheskas Yorshe Av." If you everything as status quo, Shereihem Yorshin Vaday, O Me Yaakov, O Me Ruvenu Kmuchsakin Damu. The Yorshe Av definitely are Yorshin. Either they're going to Yorish the father Yaakov, or they're going to be Yorish the son Ruvain. They're related to both Yaakov and Ruvain. So they are Vaday. No matter who died first, they definitely have some chelik in the Yerusha of the father or the son. Now the Baal Chov is a Suffolk, they're only coming out to Suffolk whether they have the right to make such a claim here. V'ein Suffolk motze midei vadai. And a Suffolk that the Baal Chov have a claim are only able, that are not able to take out of a vadai claim of the Yorshe Ha'av. That's how the Rashbam understands this machlokas. So look at the Tosas on top. Tosas has a little bit different explanation here. Tosas writes, Dimaschal Nafal, he explains the Sphere Lahula Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds Kevin the Mechusar Govaina, since they never collected it, or the father or son, whoever died first, no one ever collected it because they died immediately after the other one died. Afilu Meis Ha'av Tchila. Even if Yaakov had died first, so then the son would be Yorishim, Havu Becheskas HaYorishim, it's still in the Chazaka of the Yorshe Ha'av because the son never actually collected the Yerusha. But Beis Shammai L'tamayush, Beis Shammai L'shitaso, D'is L'huhi holds Kola Omer Ligvos K'gavar Dami. Something that has the potential to be gathered, even though it's not collected, is considered collected already. V'lachach havikilu hu muchzak b'kach. So that's the Machlokas, Rashbam, and Tosas, how, what's going on here. No one really knows what happened, but again, they're saying, I think that they want to think that the father died first, and the other group think that the son died first. And this is a debate, yeah.
Why don't they end up with the money regardless? I don't understand.
Who's they?
Let's say the Baal Chov of the Baal Chov of Yaakov. Whether the father dies first or the son dies first, why don't they get paid out?
So if you look at the Rashbam explains this. If you look at the Yorshe Av, the Rashi Yorshe Av. Yerusha Av Omrim HaBen Meis Rishon. They think that the son dies first. Nafal Bayis Alav Aviv Kai. So Yerusha Yaakov Kegon Bnei Yaakov Shimon Levi Achi Ruvain. All the brothers of Ruvain are Afilu Chanuch Upalu b'nei Reuven, or the made the grandsons of Yaakov. Shigam heim yorshei Yaakov omrim haben meis rishon. Tani Reuven meis rishon. They think that Reuven died first. Umikach avua de'av ka'asina kadamina b'gemar. They're coming from the grandfather's koach. V'lo zacha Reuven b'hani nichse klal. V'nirash anu kol nichse Yaakov. So Reuven was never zocha to it because Reuven the son died first. Uli'inyin nafal habayis Allah v'al marishav. Shayach l'misa yorshei marishav omrim haben. He doesn't explain here why that is. Okay. Let's see the next one maybe.
Because the Baal Chov is only coming to collect from Yaakov. Reuven doesn't have a debt to the Baal Chov.
The question is, though, then there's a lien, though.
Right. Lien on Yaakov's property, not on Reuven's property, not on the father's property.
Right, so this is going to get involved in the sugi later on when we'll wait for the Gemara.
Right, who borrowed the money?
Right, but when when there's a lien, though, and there's a lien on a property, though, and someone sells it, that lien still exists here. Oh. So that's...
The Baal Chov says the son was the...
I thought the Baal Chov was not on the property. The Baal Chov was for a specific person there, the son.
No, the Baal Chov, the Ksuba's Isha, have a lien on the father's property. So now the question is, if the question, if the son dies first, though, so then we're saying that the son is, rather, if the father dies first, they're claiming, so then the son is Yorishit.
It's not the son's debt.
The Baal Chov says the son is, the debtor is the son.
You see? The debtor is the son. The Baal Chov is not in the house. If it was on the house, of course, the mortgage, you know, they would collect.
But that's deed of security.
Rabbi, maybe it's on the son.
It is, that Rashbam says on the fourth line.
So on the son.
I saw love.
Okay, there you go. So it's on the son, in which case, Reuven, in which case, so they don't have rights. They don't have rights to Yaakov's property. They only have rights to Reuven's property. Okay, very good. So therefore, if we go through the situation again, so if Reuven dies first and then Yaakov gets it, so then the Mishnah said again the Yorshei Ha'av, so the Ben died first, so then Yaakov gets it and not the Baal Chov. But why can the Baal Chov still get it even if they have a lien on Reuven's property? If the property goes from Reuven to Yaakov, so then they still have that lien on that property. They should still be able to collect it.
Yaakov borrowed money from the Baal Chov. That's the son, not Yaakov. Reuven borrowed money, right? The son.
Right, but still, but they have a lien on Reuven's property now. So now when Reuven's property... when Reuven has... sells property, Lekuchos, the lien goes to Lekuchos. You could still collect from the Lekuchos.
They may not have very much. They would much prefer that Reuven inherit the Yaakov, exactly. And then they know they've got a lot to go with.
Okay, so it could be... Let's say Reuven has nothing, you're saying. Right. Reuven has nothing, so that must be the case. Reuven has nothing, so they want Yaakov's property. So only if Yaakov dies first and then Reuven gets it, will they get to collect. But Reuven dies first, so then Yaakov gets it. Yaakov doesn't inherit anything because Reuven is a son, has nothing to... Okay, very good. So the Gemara now says, Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah says there, Hamal ves as chaveir b'shtar, govim minichasim mishubadim, aydei edim govim minichasim b'nei char. And there's a klal we know, the Mishnah tells us later on, we're going to see, the person lends money to a friend, and he lends it with shtar, so then the Malv is able to collect from any properties that the Lovim might sell off. That's Mishubadim. But if they have a verbal agreement only, so then he's not able to collect from properties the Lovim had sold off. He could only collect from properties that's B'nei Chorin, that the Lovim currently owns. So ask Shmuel, Bai Shmuel, De'ikni v'kanu mahu. Let's say you write in the shtar, not only properties that I currently have as a Lovim, can you take away from me if I sell it off, but any future properties I buy after this point, and then I sell off else, your lien's going to fall upon those future acquisitions as well. Does such a concept exist? Could you create a shibud on future acquisitions? So the Gemara explains, Aliba de Rabbi Meir, the Amar Adamak Nadavar Shalob Baliolam Lo Tibar Licha, Devade Kana. According to Rabbi Meir, who says that you can be Makne Davar Shalob Baliolam, so certainly you could also create a shibud on something that's Lo Baliolam. But Ela Kitzibar Yilacha, the Shaila is Aliba de Rabbanan, the Amri Ein of the Makna Davar Shalob Be'aliolam. Rabbanan in general hold, you cannot make an acquisition on something that doesn't exist in this world, but would they say the same thing when it comes to a Shibud? Now, why would a Shibud be any different? So look what the Rashbam says. This is the medium wide lines down in the Rashbam. It's four medium wide lines down. It says Ela Kitzibar Yilacha Aliba de Rabbanan. My. Me shiny shibud mekinin v'tayma kitaprishas. Is shibud better than a kinin? And what he said earlier, explained, I didn't read this inside, but it's possible to say with Kinyan, when you're talking about Dekel, Peros LeDekel, fruits don't exist in this world yet. But the Sheba, the property that the Sheba will be Chal on, does exist in the world. I might not own it yet, but it exists in this world. So a Sheba might work for Chacham, even though in general, Kinyan doesn't work on Peros because Peros are not in the world, but the land is in the world. Or Inami, another suggestion why maybe the Rabbanan will agree by Shibud. Al Muhu Rabbanan L'Shibud. Rabbanan strengthened the concept of Shibud for the benefit of the Malva. Why? Yosem Ikinin. Delotino Delos Bifnei Loven. Because if the Malva is going to have a weaker ability to collect money, they're not going to lend money anymore. The banks won't lend money. So now to give them greater assurance, they said not only will your Shibud Chal will fall upon the current acquisitions of the Lova, but even on future assets, it will also be Chal of. So the Shaila is, would Rabbanan agree to such a concept of a Di'ikni V'kana? So the Gemara brings the first Raya. The rest of the Daf is going to all be bringing Rayas on this concept. So Amar of Yosef, Tashma V'chachamim Omrim, Zeh haya pikeach shemachal asakarka mipnei shuyachal l'mashkan olav. What's going on here? So this is a sugi in Ksubis Machlokas Admon and Chachamim. What's going on here is, I'm the Malva, I lend you money. Now, well, you owe me $1 million, and you're not paying me up the money. So then later on, I end up selling you my property for $1 million. So Admon says, I very nice, I sold the property to you, but I can't go ahead and take your karka. That's viewed as a different sale. But Chachamim say, no, I'm a smart guy, because I sold the property to you now, and now you paid $1 million, so I have my $1 million back for me. Now I can go ahead and confiscate your land as my mashkon until you pay me back the other $1 million that you really, really owe me, and I'm a pikeach. So the underlying point here is, how does that work? When I lent you the money January 1st, you didn't own any land. There was no shibud on land. You owe me $1 million. So now when I sell your property March 1st, so now how can my initial lien be chal on the acquisition you made later on March 1st? The fact that I'm allowed to take that karka 3 months later, that the lien can fall upon future acquisitions. And they bring a raya from this Gemara here, this Mishnah, that it can, ikne kane does work, shibud can be chal on future acquisitions. So Amar Le Rava, Rava says, mine, commerce? Mine afilu miglima da kasvik. So no, our question was, if I lent, I have a lien on your property, and then you buy a new property, and then you sell it to somebody else, can I take it from the other person? But any future things that you buy, I can take your shirt off your back. You owe me money as a gavra. Of course, future acquisitions, property, clothing, I could take. So that's not a riot, the fact that I could take the land I just sold you. We're questioning whether future acquisitions that you went ahead and sold to other people, lekuchos, can I take from the lekuchos? That's the whole shiloh. Ki kami barilan, the question was, di'ikne kane umachar. When you as a lova bought a property later on, and then you sold it to somebody else, can I confiscate it from that lekuchos? Or di'ikne kane v'horish, or you acquired a property and then a person died and you morish it to a child. Can I take it from that child? That's the question, that's the whole shiloh. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chana Toshma. Now you bring our Mishnah as a raya of akne kane umachar. Nafal abayis alav ve'al aviv. The house falls upon Reuven and on his father Yaakov Avinu. Not Yaakov, Yaakov. And ve'al alav al morishav, or on Reuven and one of his other relatives who are morishim. V'hayis alav ksubas isha ba'al chov. And Reuven owed a ksuba to his wife, or he owed money to a bank. So we're assuming at this point, as we said earlier, that Reuven has no money on his own. So Yerushay Av Omrim Haben Meis Rishon. First the son died, and the son had no property they gave over to the father, so the son died with nothing. V'chakach Meis Av, and the father died afterwards. So Reuven, who died first, has no claim to his father's property, which means that the Isha and the Balchov can't claim from Reuven anything, and from the father anything. But the Balchovos Omrim, they say differently. Ha'av Meis Rishon. First Reuven Yaakov died, so then Reuven was Yerush, his father. And then Reuven died, so now the Balchov are going to collect from the property that Reuven would inherited very briefly.
We
have no idea. They're just playing claim. Yes, exactly. This could have happened.
Right. So
v'yisaka daitach dikne kani machar, dikne kani marish lo mishtabit. If you assume that future acquisitions that are then sold off or inherited off do not have a lien. So nihi nami de av meis bereisha. Let's grant you for a moment that Yaakov died first. That means Reuven was Yorish, his father. Diknehu. But still, the problem is, if we say that Reuven now, how could then Reuven died. So now Reuven's children got the property. So how could the Baal Chov collect from Reuven's children? It's a case of Ikne Kano Machar. So the fact that the Baal Chovas can collect from the grandchildren tell us that the future acquisitions that are then given off to someone else, the lien does exist. We pass from the Ikne Kano Machar does create a Shibud. That's what we learn from this Mishnah. So the Gemara says, not true. This is not a Raya, the Ikne Kano Machar, that's Mishtabed, because this case is different. Amr Lahu Rav Nachman Zeira Chavrin Targuma, they explain mitzvah al hayesomim lifroa chovas avian. It's because there's a mitzvah on the grandchildren to pay off the debts of the father, not because the bali chov have a lien on the property, because it's an inyan to pay off your father's debts. That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that the children have upon their father. So just look at the look what the Tosas writes here. The Baal Tosas, mitzvah al hayisomim lefroa chovas avian, the kofin. You could actually be kofin. We could kofin al mitzvahs. You could force the children to pay off their father's debt. Umiu ein kofin b'makom shlo haniach lemachraus nechasim. If the father doesn't leave an estate behind, so you can't make the children pay out of pocket their father's debt. Aval haniach lem kofin. But if the father leaves over money, they leave over a big estate, then you can force the children to first pay off the debts before they can collect. Fine, that's the halacha. So again, there is no proof here at all to the halachas of dikne kanu machar b'mishabe. This is a special exception of mitzvah lefroa chovas avien.
The mitzvah is to use the father's assets, but not to use their own.
Exactly.
That's
only kofin. You could be kofin, exactly. It's a we could force upon them. How far could you kofin? I'm not sure it doesn't address how far, but we certainly try to enforce it as best as possible.
But it doesn't mean it went into their possession.
Exactly, right. Again, if they took the money, I mean, we don't collect from their B'nai Chorin any property that they have on their own. Any property that's coming to them, I would imagine even if they collected from their father's estate, they would still have to pay. That's still considered coming from their father. What Tosas, I think, is trying to tell you is they don't pay out of pocket the money that they earned on their own. But money that they got from their father, then they would have to pay.
Even if they're not obligated to pay,
it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, and we enforce it. Now, how far do we force it? The Gemara says, kofin al mitzvah aseh ad shemesu, or something like that. When it comes to mitzvah aseh, it's stronger. Before it's a person, the guy refuses to sit in the sukkah, the guy refuses to shake lulav, we could beat him until he does it, and if he doesn't, we could beat him until he dies, according to the simple reading of the Gemara. So, seemingly, this would be you force him until he actually gives the money or he dies. That's the simple understanding of this. But so either way, this is a special din in the mitzvah al hayisomim lefroa chovas aviyim, and nothing to do with our discussion of ikne kanu machar, it's mishtabed or not mishtabed. So the Gemara says, according to this understanding, though, maskiv la Rav Ashi, this is a milvah al pehu. This whole idea is a milvah al peh, that what? That the mitzvah al hayisomim to pay has nothing to do with ikne kanu at all. Nothing to do with the shtar. This is just simply the obligation as a child to pay off the father's debt. It's in essence a milvah al peh, their obligation to pay back. And the problem is that Rav Ushmuel Damer Tevayo, they both hold that a milvah al peh eino gove lo min hayorshin v'lo min halakuchos. So what's going on here is the Yasom, if the Yasom has money from his father, so that money he has to pay to the Baal Chovos. That much we understand. Now, his obligation to pay is really being viewed now as a milvah al peh, because the milvah bashtar, the shtar that's written, they're not obligated by the gabi, the shtar, that the father had to the bank. There is no obligation. So the only reason why they have to pay is because it's mitzvah al yisomim, lefroas choves aviyim, which is in essence, it's just a verbal agreement that Torah puts upon them, a milvah al peh. Now, milvah al peh, the halacha is, a milvah al peh, if I owe money, we had a verbal agreement, I have to pay you back $1,000. If I sell my property, you cannot collect from those people. There's no lien on the property that's been sold off. Only from B'nai Chorin of mine, but not to Bishubadim. So now, if we're viewing the children's obligation to pay back their father's debts as a milvah peh, so milvah peh, you can't collect from those properties. So when the son, when Reuven, in the case of the bias, Reuven, Yaakov dies first, then Reuven's Yorush's father, then Reuven dies, So now Reuven's children get it. It goes to their lekuchos now. Reuven's children, a milval peh, cannot collect from the yorshin, from the lekuchos. So this whole calculation doesn't make sense. The Yisroelim themselves have to pay. Reuven himself has to pay the debt. But Reuven dies, his yorshin don't have to pay off the debt because his whole idea is a milval peh. That's what the Gemara asks upon this question.
So we're back to having that araya from our Mishnah that ikne kani.
Exactly. And therefore, the fact that you can collect from Reuven's children, even after Reuven died and was Moshe's children, tells me to ikne kani amachar, create a shibud, and that's why the Baal Chovos can collect from the grandchildren. So the Gemara says no. The top of Kufnun Dinam Abeis, Ella Hamani, this must be Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the author of this Mishnah. Damer Adamak Nedavar Shalom Baliolam. Rabbi Meir always allows Kinyanim and Shibudim to work on things that don't exist. We still want to know for the Chachamim, would they say, even though Kinyanim don't work on something that Shalom Davar Baliolam, maybe they would say a Shibud works on something, a Davar Shalom Baliolam. So still no Raya. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rav Yaakov Menahar Pakud Mishmei Deravina, Toshma. Shari Chov HaMukdamim Psulim. If you write a star early, that January 1st, but even though it took effect February 1st, that's possible. Because your star is going to claim the lien existed from January 1st. And any properties I sold from January 1st to February 1st will have a lien based on the document, but there really shouldn't be a lien because I didn't actually borrow money till February 1st. So those Shari Chov Mukdamim are Psulim. HaMu'charim Ksherim. If there's a shtar that was written at a later date than the actual loan, I borrowed money on February 1st, but we wrote March 1st was the lien, was the loan, so that actually works, because it works to the benefit of lekuchos. They actually, people who I sold to from February 1st to March 1st actually get protected, because the shtar says the lien didn't exist until March 1st, even though it really did exist from February 1st. So later on, shtaros that were dated later on, that actually is okay. That's a good shtar. Now, visaka daitach dikne kani machar dikne kani varish lo mishtabed. So if you say that if I buy a property later on and then sell it later, it doesn't create a shibud, a maik sharon. Diknehu, iknehu. What happens? If I, let's say, I borrowed the money February 1st, and the document says March 1st. So this document gives the impression that only liens I have in my property at March 1st are going to be subject to a lien. But let's say I bought a property February 15th, but the lien only took place February 1st. So February 1st, only properties I have February 1st are going to have liens on them. If I buy a property February 15th, it's a future asset, it should not have a lien because it didn't exist in my property at February 1st. But now that I'm writing on the star March 1st, so we look at all my assets March 1st, and that property that I bought February 15th is part of my assets. So it's going to give the impression that there's a lien on my February 5th acquisition, which is really not true because I've borrowed the money February 1st. So it must be the fact that we allow Ashtar Mu'acharim tells me that a lien can exist on future acquisitions. And the Gemara answers, no. Again, Hamani, who authored this price, it must be Rabbi Meir, he the Amr Odamakne, Davar Shal, Shalob Balil. Vayit to the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mishar Shemishmei Derava, Da Shemal Deshvach, Deshevach Karkaos Ketad. How do you pay off any of the enhancements of the property? What's the case of Shevach Karkaos Ketad? Harei Shemachar Sadil Chaver. I sell you a property, Vishbicha, and you enhance it, and Uba Balchov Vitarfa. Now the bank who's coming after me goes after the property that I sold to you. And they take the property away from you, they confiscate it. Kishu Gove. So when you, as the lokeach, come after me, because I owe you money now, because I sold you property with a lien on it, and this confiscated the property, so the keren, the $1 million you paid for the property, you could collect on mishubadim, properties I sold other afterwards, but it comes to shevach, you could only collect from the menechasim b'necharon, only properties I currently have in my property, in my and in my ownership. Now, v'isaka daitach, if you assume that any future acquisitions are not subject to the lien of the bank, so then when the bank takes away the property that I sold to you, they should only be able to take away the keren. That the shevach that came afterwards, they have no lien on the shevach. So how could the Baal Chov take the shevach away from you? So it must be that there's a lien even on future acquisitions, even on the shevach, and that's why the bank could take it away. The Gemara answers again, no, Hamani, Rabbi Meir, he, the Amar, Adamakne Davar, Shalom Bali Olam. You could take that he allows you to create Shibudim, but our question still remains open, what about according to the Chachamim? Gemara now says, Imtim Shalomer, if you want to say, Dikne Kanemacher, Dikne Kanevori Shalom Mishabit, that if you paskin like that future acquisitions are not subject to any liens, so Halom Shabbat, so fine, no acquisitions, there's no liens, that's fine. But Imtim Salomer, let's say you want to assume Mishtabed, let's say it does create a lien on future acquisitions, even according to the Chachamim. So then we have the following Shaila. Love velove vechazer vekana mahu. Lekame Mishtabed or lebasa Mishtabed. What happens if a person borrows money from one person? And then look at the Rashbam just to explain this clearly. Rashbam says two wide lines down. Vim Tim Salomar de Ikne Kani Macher Mishtabed, that future acquisitions will be subject to liens. Love Vakasav Lamalva Shebadi Lacha Konichsai de Kani Vidikne. The Lova borrows from Bank One and says, all my future acquisitions will be subject to your lien. Chazav Lova, now he borrows from a second bank, Meacher from somebody else. Vakasav Lo Kimosha Kasav Lavisha wrote the same thing, that all future acquisitions will be subject to the lien for the bank, the second bank. Afterwards, the Lovet bought some property, Umachrin, and he sells it off. Oshemes, he dies, Varishim, the Yorshim. So now, Boshne Anoshim, Letrofos, and Nechasim. Now, both banks are coming after this guy's property on the future acquisitions. So, Adin and me, which bank gets to collect the future acquisitions? Do we say, Lakama Mishtabe, Chari Kasa, Bishtar Mukdam? Do we say the earlier star gets the property, or do we say that Labasa Mishtabi, the second one, Delo Alim Dikne the Tos Achivo Al Nechasim Bolam? Because at the time when each property, each document was written, there was no property in the Lova's possession. When it came into this world, they both had a current and active lien. So who's going to get it? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Ha Milsa Ibai Luhan. We had the same Shaila, says Rav Nachman. We sent a message over to Eretz Yisrael to find out where the Pesach was. And Shalchum Itam, they sent back from there to Yisrael, Rishon Kana. The first star is Kona, he gets to collect from all the future acquisitions. However, Rav Huna Amar Yachlok, he says, no, they both seem to have an equal tefisa on this, and you should divide the property in half. The Chayin Tani Rabba Baravua Yachloku, they divide it. So Amar Ravina Mahadura Kama, Rav Ashi, the first edition of Rav Ashi, I think this is where we get the lashon you have in the Shuvah, is Madura Karam, Madura Tinyana, Madura Basra, it's based on this Gemara, I think, here. Madura Kama, I don't know if it appears anywhere else. Madura Kama, the Rav Ashi, Amarlan Rishon, Kana. The first edition of Rav Ashi was that the first Bachov is Kona, but the Madura Basra, the Rav Ashi, Amarlan Yachloki, they retracted and said Yachloku, Behilchasa Yachloku, and that's how we paskin. So the Gemara asks him, Esive. The Shela Karkos, the Misha says, Ketad, Haresha Macher Sada Lechaveir. A guy sells a property, Vishbicha, then the Lokeach makes it better. Uba Balchov, Vitarfa, the bank comes and takes it away from the Lokeach. Kishu Gove, when the Lokeach collects back from the Mocher, he's Gove as a Karen Menichasim Mishubadim, as a Shevach Menichasim Menichard. So all the Karen, the $1 million, he takes away from any of the Mishubadim, but any of the Shevach he put in, he could only collect from Menichasim Menichard. The Imis, if it's really true that the two banks, in this case, the Baal Chov is coming after me, and the Lokeach is coming after me, he wants his money back. So the halacha really should be is that im isa chati shevach mi baile. It should really be split. The shevach should be really split. Look what Rashbam says here, six lines up from the bottom. Vim isa de chati shevach mi baile. The shekev and shemacher halove sadeu. Since the love sells his property, the cost of lo achras alav and says, I'm responsible to pay it back to you. The achar kein yishbichin alokach. The lokach made it better. Vim isa malva alokach. The bank. And the one who bought it for me, shtem nosha belover. They both want the money from the lova. Uvenimsa shevach kani the lova, achas shibud shnehem. Lemal bebechova lokeach bekasim mcneu, mcnaso. Lefikach cholken a shevach kedin lova velova bechazav kana. Hilkach ein lemal bebechomakum elachati a shevach. So when the bank takes away the shevach from the lokeach, he shouldn't take away the full. He should only take away half of it. He should take half and leave half for the lokeach. So the Gemara says, you're right, my gove, nami de katani chati shevach. When it says the bank collects the shevach from the lokeach, it doesn't mean he takes the entire shevach, it means he takes only half of the shevach. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day. Yeah.